This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Thank you. And welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bible, New Testament, New Covenant, to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 28, where we left off last time. Mark, chapter 1, verse 28. Before we begin, if any of you would like to call me and leave a prayer request, especially for our Thursday intercessory time, or leave a question for the Mystery Moments segment, here is my telephone number, area 321. The number is 6324631. Again, area 321, number 6324631. And now the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 28. We learned last week that John is really Mark's name, which means the gift of God. Mark is his surname. And Jesus was his hero because Mark was a teenager when Jesus used to come to Mark's mother Mary's house for dinner and to teach. So he really loved Jesus while he was not really one of the disciples. Mark goes very fast and kind of does a survey, whereas some of the other Gospels, Matthew, Luke, and John, are much more thorough. So every now and then we draw on all four Gospels to make the story complete. And we learned last week that Mark told us about John the Baptist was the messenger of the covenant who would prepare the way for the Messiah. And then we learned that John the Baptist has the anointing of Elijah. Remember the prophet Elijah who never died, went up in a whirlwind, a chariot of fire? Well, the prophet Elijah has the same anointing John the Baptist. Jesus says John the Baptist was Elias if people would have received him. Now, the anointing of Elijah is that the person tells you that they are two fathers, Malachi chapter 4. There's God our Father, and then there's Satan, that old snake, that old serpent who beguiled Eve in the garden and bore Cain. And so that is the anointing of Elijah. They always tell you that they are two fathers. Soon and very soon, you're going to be aware of two witnesses, and they are called, they will have the anointing of Elijah. They're called the two witnesses, and they're very important here as we come to the end time. So we learned about the anointing of Elijah. Then last week in chapter 1 up to verse 28, Mark told us that Jesus was baptized of John, and when Jesus came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit, like a dove, descended on Jesus and anointed him. Then he became Jesus, the Anointed One. Christ means Messiah, the Anointed One. Then the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted. So Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. Why did Jesus need to fast? To create a weakness within himself. He had no weakness. To show you that despite the weakness of your flesh, you also can overcome. And when he was tempted there in the wilderness, Jesus overcame the devil by saying, "It is written," and then he quoted the Bible. That's how you overcame. You say, "It is written," but you say, "In Jesus' name," and on the basis of the victory of Jesus' blood, and then you quote the scripture. Then at the very end of our lesson last week, John the Baptist was arrested and put in prison, and Jesus began to preach and say, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." A kingdom is a king and his dominion. Jesus is the king. He was here in the flesh, and we're his dominion. So what you want to know is that right where you are in your messy nitty-gritty, the kingdom of heaven is at hand if Jesus is king on the throne of your heart. And we're going to learn about that kingdom tonight. And now we begin. Mark 1, verse 28. Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 28. And immediately his fame spread abroad. Mark uses the word anon, immediately, straightway. He's an enthusiastic youth. So why would Jesus get so famous? Because that was the first advent of Jesus, and the world was sick, sick, sick. You can get so sick with sin that everybody's sick. Now, the Ecclesiastes, the preacher, says, there's nothing new under the sun. As it was in the beginning, so should it be at the end. That was the first advent. The people were very, very sick and needed a great physician, and demons were everywhere. We're close to the end. We're in the fifth trump waiting for the sixth. The world is sin sick. You can hardly turn on your television without getting nauseated. The demonic forces actually make us sick. And the river Euphrates revelation has been opened so that demons are everywhere. And so as it was in the beginning, first advent, so it shall be as Jesus prepares to come the second time. Throughout all the region round about Galilee. And so, see, he went about healing those people. So they needed, if someone would come on the scene and heal all this sin-sick mess in the world, everybody would go after them, would they not?
And forthwith they were come out, the synagogues. They entered into the house of Simon and Andrew, James and John.
All right, remember Jesus had not selected all of his disciples yet. He had selected Simon, Peter, and Andrew, and James, and John. So now they leave the synagogue where they've been hearing God's word, and they go to Peter's house. We find that Peter's married, and Peter has a mother-in-law.
But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her.
Immediately they tell Jesus, Peter's mother-in-law is sick of a fever.
31. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her.
Now, some of the other Gospels are more thorough. They say, and we taught it in here in John, they say that Jesus spoke to the fever, and the fever left her. Why would Jesus speak to the fever? Remember, that's verified in the other Gospels. Because, listen carefully, the kingdom of God is activated by the spoken word. Proverbs says, death and life's in the power of the tongue. I'll say it again. This would help you change your whole life. The kingdom of God, right where you are, your sickness, your despair, your gloom, your need, your whatever, your mess, your confusion, the kingdom of God is activated by the spoken word. What word? You speak the word of God. You say, that's strange, Sherry. I can't do that. Did you know God spake and everything that was not created came into creation? He called forth those things which are not as though they were. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Sound produces movement. Did you know you can even fix objects? This machine on which I record the scriptures each week, I record the scriptures. Everything else is toted by memory. It was not working. It was ready for the dumpster. And I put oil on it and I said, you work, I need you. So it's working and I needed it. I've got the worst television set in the world. It's new, but I've had nothing but trouble. I got a new provider and they said, your problem with your volume is that you can't hear it. It won't turn up. We got a television set, no volume. And they did it. They said, it's because you need a new television. So I went out and got a new television set and they gave me a new amplifier. And half the time the volume doesn't work on that, and finally it died completely. I took the old amplifier, a remote from the first television, which didn't even belong to this one, and I used it for a little while, but then it stopped working. So a few nights this week, I couldn't turn the TV off, and I can't sleep with that blaring thing. If you push the on button or off button on my television, it's new, remember. The whole thing will go out, and then I gotta get somebody in and reprogram it. So finally, I said, okay, there's something got to be done about this volume. I can't have TV going or just not ever use it. So I took the remote that went with the first television set, and I anointed the little part that says volume. And I touched the top part, and I said, in the name of Jesus, by the power of Jesus, when I press you, volume up. Now I went to the bottom. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood of Jesus, when I press you, volume down. Working ever since.
Amen.
Now you say, boy, I didn't know that. No, the kingdom of heaven is activated by the spoken word. You know, that's not so strange. I've got this Google back of me. You can activate her by speaking out words. So see, the world's captured that a little bit there. So just remember that he spoke to the fever. How about cancer? Do you speak to cancer? What about the sickness? Hey there, you pain, stop in Jesus' name. I tell myself that all the time. I told myself earlier today, you stop hurting. You can't hurt you. Stop it. Quit. And it quit. See, I'm not a super saint. I'm supernatural because I'm a king's kid. I'm God's kid, and so are you. The kingdom of heaven is activated by the spoken word, the word of God. You're not even beginning to use the tools God's given you. The word of God changes atmosphere.
Amen. And she ministered unto them.
Poor mother-in-law, she'd get up and serve them. She had to cook them some dinner. Now, you know, I've been praying for people to be healed for a long time, and I always believed in that. And many people have been healed and miracles. I've even had people come back alive. They were dead. Yes, I have. That's Jesus said we would. That's not strange. You're supposed to be raising the dead. Haven't you raised any dead people lately? Raise the dead, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, cast out devils, the blind see the deaf. You're sure a little daily exercise there. And but I've had some people that said, don't pray for me too hard, Sherry, because if I get too well, I'll have to go to work, or won't get disability, or people won't feel sorry for me. See, once you get healed, you got to get up and do something in the kingdom.
32, and it even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils.
All right, now they've had dinner, and they're all in Simon Peter's house. We've got Jesus, Simon Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Right now, they're disciples. He hasn't selected the rest. And everybody from north, south, east comes there, and they have heard that Jesus can heal the sick and cast out devils. Now, for all of you, Jesus told every Christian on the sound of my voice, he told you to raise the dead, cast out devils, heal the sick. And some of you just stand back, oh, I've never done anything. I mean, I do, I tithe. That's about the easiest thing some of you ever do. See, so do I tithe. But you're supposed to do this. So now there's a difference. Those of you who are training and all of you want to do this, there's a difference in healing sick people, praying for that, or casting out devils. See, many people get them mixed up, and you'll think that a person who's sick has a devil, or vice versa. Let me explain it. May I make you famous over the air, Robert? Our beautiful friend Robert is here. And Robert had a problem with his brain, not the intellect. He's extremely smart and bright, but some tumor pressure and so forth there. And Scott asked me to pray for him. And when he did, I saw, the Holy Spirit showed me, this is where the Holy Spirit will lead you. He'll give you discernment. I saw inside your brain, and I saw that we needed to have a little wall there, something there. And so I prayed, O Son of Righteousness, rise with healing in your wings. That's Malachi 4. That was a sincere physical healing. And those laser beams shot in there, and I felt the power of God. And Robert's still alive. Praise God. And Scott and I just praise God for that. We thank God. Now that was the healing. You see what I'm saying? So there you go. So you say, well, how do I know the difference? Okay. The demon is a different thing. There was a woman who came in here. We've been cast out many demons. We'd have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them. But I remember one particular woman. I hadn't yet had a chance to totally decide whether it was a demon or not. Remember when the strange girl, the fortune teller, followed Paul around and said, these men are servants of the Most High God? Paul put up with that for a long time. And he finally turned around and said, the name of Jesus, loose her. But it took him a while to figure out whether it was a devil or whether it was a disease or whether she's just aggravating. So this woman came in, and I noticed that she had problems. I felt something was wrong. And she was always going to doctors and everything, like, but somehow I didn't feel it was physical. And so one of the services that I stood up and I looked at her, God opened my spiritual eyes. I saw the whole front of her opened up down in her solar plexus, and I saw a tiny little girl in captivity in there. And the little girl's voice said, help me. And I realized what it was. The power came on me of the Lord. To God be the glory in the name of Jesus, by the power of the victory of Jesus' blood. Before I knew it, I'd cast out 5 demons out of her. And then she got quiet. So you see, now this is, you're supposed to do the same thing. Don't sit there with your mouth open and say, wow, You're supposed to do this. What's the matter with you? Acts has been in the Bible a long time. Jesus and Mark's been in the Bible a long time. Where have you been? In other words, ask the Holy Spirit to show you. When I call someone up to the bench, and they may say, I have this headache, I have this problem. Many times it's an emotional pain, or sometimes it's a long-standing thing. But if you want to help people, get discernment of spirit. If you're sincere, the Holy Spirit is your teacher and guide. Anytime I pray for people, I wait a moment and I let the Holy Spirit direct me. I don't just start praying just to fill in the time. I don't ever do that. Wait for the Holy Spirit. He'll show you whether it's a sickness or whether it's a devil. And then the devil, see, when you tell a devil, you say, I loose you from this person and I send you to the abyss, that is a death sentence for the devil. Okay? So that's Amen. What Jesus did.
Amen.
33, and all the city was gathered together at the door. Everybody was gathered at the door. Now, the Gospel of John says that Jesus is the door. Now, we know that Jesus is coming again, but he's coming at the seventh trump. At the sixth trump, a fake door is coming. He's called the Antichrist. He's the devil with his Jesus costume on. And Revelation 13 and Matthew 25 says the whole world and half of the Christian church will gather at the fake door. They'll gather at the fake one, calling him Jesus, thinking he's the door. But I'm suggesting to you, wait for the seventh trump. That's the door you want to enter. If you go to that first door, you've walked yourself into a lake of fire.
34, and he healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils.
Now, you know that went on after midnight. I've been in those kind of sessions with that crowd. I bet you it was 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the morning before he finished, don't you? Now, let's see what Jesus is going to do.
Suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him.
Oh, when he cast out the devils, then it's okay now, but then Jesus said, don't tell them who I am. A demon is a disembodied spirit. And see, they have not had a body. That's why they like to get in a body. They like to get in your body. And yes, we're going to talk about, yes, Christians invite them in. And so Jesus knew that the demons knew that Jesus was Emmanuel, God with us. And Jesus didn't want that word to get around too much because the phony church leaders, the Pharisees, would crucify him before it was his time. He still had to teach all of his disciples. He had 3 years of teaching to do. And he didn't want to go until his work was finished. And so he didn't want them to say anything. And then also God's people would try to make him a king right here. So see, sometimes fame can stop you from doing God's work. Be careful about that.
35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before dawn, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed.
Great time before time to get up. I mean, I bet he slept 1 hour and got up. Jesus is very smart. It's a wise person that puts on God in the morning. Some of you say, well, I'm too busy. I have to wait at night. By night, you're so sleepy. And besides, the devil's already beat you up all day long. You need help in the morning. I wouldn't even begin to go out into this world to get up or anything. In other words, put on the gospel armor. Hear the word of God and take time to listen to God. Don't just say, hey, God, today, give me some money. Give me a new job. Give me a spouse. Give me a car. Give me this. But hear God, I give you myself today. What would you have me to do for you today? How can I win a soul to you today? What can I do to help you and help your kingdom today? Here am I, Lord, send me. And you hear the word of God. I get up every morning of my life at 5 o'clock, and I don't necessarily have to. But see, that's essential to me. All people who accomplish things, discipline yourselves. You're not in this world for comfort. And those of you who say, well, I can't do that in the morning, I'm too busy, get up 30 minutes early. It's not going to kill you. And children, you too. Discipline yourself right now, young people. Get up every morning, put God first, read your Bible, talk to him, let him talk to you, listen to him and pray. And then go and get your breakfast and get on to school or wherever you need to go to work. If you would do this now, you are setting a pattern in your life that those blessings will come. Do you understand? We not only tithe our money, our time, we tithe our time.
Yes.
And we tithe our talents. We tithe everything. So there we have it. So get up early in the morning. And now what if happens if you wake up at 3 o'clock? That happens sometimes. I look at it this way. Okay, I normally get up at 5 and I'm going to spend 3 or 4 hours in intercessory prayer and everything. But if I'm up at 3, God might have something really an emergency that he needs me to pray for. So as tired as you are, start praying, asking him, is there anything on your heart, Lord? Is there anybody in this world that you want me to pray for at 3 o'clock in the morning? Did you know he has certain hours that he visits you? And sometimes the Lord just wants to spend time with you. Remember, he does not sleep nor slumber. And he might just want your companionship. So wake up. Remember, this is a love affair.
36, and Simon and they that were with him followed after him. 37, and when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee.
At that point, the disciples weren't even thinking crucifixion. They were so glad to have found the Messiah. They saw the miracles, and they thought he was going to set up his kingdom on heaven, so they didn't want to lose Jesus. Where are you, Jesus?
38, and he said unto them, let us go into the next town, that I may preach there also. For therefore come I forth. And he preached in the synagogue throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils.
Now, don't let that go by you. And he preached in all the synagogues, and cast out devils. What's the devil's doing in the synagogue? The synagogue is a church, because the devil's operation is in the pulpit and in the pews. Remember, the world was sin sick first advent, and the demonic forces were loose. The world is sin sick now. It's like a sewage. The actual atmosphere almost poisons you. Sometimes you could feel yourself being poisoned. And Revelation says all the demons of hell have been loosed on this planet now. Now, the churches are where the demons like to go. Satan sends them there. Soon the fallen angels are coming with Satan, and they're going to go into the Christian church to have a great revival to fool you. If you could see in the spirit, all these churches, most of the churches, you will see that every other person in the pew has a piggyback demon on them, or they are filled with them. They have come in here by the droves, hundreds of thousands over the years, and I have seen them, some of them so packed with demons that there were nothing left but a demon themselves. Others where they had just picked up a demon, the Christian had gotten cold and starting to watch something on TV they shouldn't see, or watch that cell phone, something they shouldn't see, or go to hear something they see. You can open the door, give the devil an inch, he'll take a mile. And I could see the demons in people looking at me to see if I recognized them, because they're scared of me. Little old me, they're scared of me. Make them scared of you too. Hallelujah. God guard you, you know. You have the battle, the victory. So the churches are packed with demons. They're going to be even so more so when the Antichrist comes to fall. Angels are there. I learned something. The demons have tried to come in and tear up this congregation over the years. It just swamps of them. Talk about cleaning the swamp. And I've cast out so many demons that there aren't many people left. Did you know that, Christian, that you can, yes, demons are after Christians. You says, but I'm pure and holy. See, that's what I'm saying. Won't you read your Bible every morning and be with God and pray every morning? Get yourself armor, get yourself clothed, so the Lord, so the devil can't get you, and so the Lord will protect you. But yes, the church is filled with demons and ritualistic things, and all kinds of religious things are going on in the churches now. First of all, we've got to cast out the devil out of the church. He preached to cast out the devils. Nothing new under the sun.
40, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean.
Now in the Bible, leprosy is equated with a deep-rooted sin. A leper was a pitiful person. When they first recognize he has leprosy, he cannot hug his loved one goodbye. He can never touch anybody again because leprosy was contagious and it was deadly. Let's say he was married. He could not hug his wife or his, or if it was a woman, she could not hug her husband, could not hug their children. They could never touch anybody again. They had to go say unclean. Did you know that people die needing the human touch? You can isolate a person so much that there's no human being to touch them. I mean the physical touch of friendship or of love. I'm not talking about sex. I'm talking about that love there, that a person will die. How sad for children when mothers do not caress you and hold you and hug you. In other words, people need this. And so one of the great horrors for the leper was that they could not touch, they could not ever again hug their loved one or touch their loved one.
41, and Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him.
Look at Jesus. He knew exactly what the real problem was. The touching jump-started the healing. It activated. You know, your jumper cables on the car? Jump-started the healing. See, Jesus could have said, be healed, leper, go on your way. No. Jesus stretched out his hand and touched the leper, whose body was oozing with slime and goo and disease, and half of the body parts are just decaying and rotting off. And Jesus put out his hand and touched him and said, I find you desirable. I find you lovely. I love you. I want you. I will touch you. All right, Christian. How many people this week did you touch? Not talking about sex. You know they're grieving. You know they're in trouble. You know it's too hard for him. When have you ever just put your hand on their back? Just reach out and touch. You know how to do it. You learn how to do it. Be careful in church. Some people use it to touch people sexually. We're talking about pure here. I have seen times if someone would have just come and put their hands on my shoulders, especially with what's happened to my eyes, I would have been so, oh God, somebody feels. Did you touch anybody this week? Oh, you still about your four and no more. Reach out and touch someone. And if you don't touch them with your hand, touch them with your life. Touch them with your love. Touch them with your heart. Amen. There's some way to touch people. Find a way.
Saith unto him, I will. Be thou clean.
Jesus says, I will.
42, and as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. 43, and he straitly charged him, and forthwith sent him away. 44, and saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them.
Okay, what Jesus said, I want you to go and do Leviticus chapter 14. For homework, all of you later on, read Leviticus chapter 14. I'll sum it up quickly now. Jesus wrote that and knew that. What happened if you miraculously got healed of leprosy, and this man did, you're supposed to go to the priest in the synagogue, and he's to take two clean birds and kill one of the clean birds and put the blood in a basin of running water. Then he takes a live bird and dips it into that blood, and then he takes the live bird out and lets him go free. It's a symbol of him being free. I'll tell you people, the blood of Jesus cleanses. The blood of Jesus pulls out the demonic forces and looses you, and the blood of Jesus heals. All of that law of Moses about the birds was that right before this leper stood the Messiah who would shed his precious blood, and it would be adequate to cleanse us from the deepest kind of leprosy sin, any kind of sin, and it would pull the demons out of us, and it would heal not only our bodies, but heal our sin-sick soul.
Amen.
45, but he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter.
The poor man could not stand it. He just had to go and tell what Jesus had done. The psalmist says, the Lord gave the word, And great is the company of those who publish it. The word is the word of God. Publish means to speak, declare, and tell. If you are declaring the word of God, be it one-on-one or be it to others, or day by day trying to share that word with others, you have a great company. You're the CEO of your company. And so this man blazed it abroad. That means that his spirit, his heart was now on fire with love of Jesus. I kind of think Jesus used reverse psychology on him. While Jesus didn't want the crowds to know him too much because he knew they would crucify him too early and he had some work to do, he had 3 years of work to do, I think he used reverse psychology. He told the man not to tell, so the man went and tell. Go and blow the trumpet of truth. He did.
Much that Jesus no more openly entered into the city, but was without in desert places.
Jesus was still there helping the people, healing and preaching and casting out devils, but he was in the desert places. Now you Christian, you have your times when you're dry desert place. It looks like there's nothing moving. It looks like everything's dead. Your hopes are dead, your dreams are dead. There's nothing happening. You feel like you're in a dry desert place. I want to tell you, that's where Jesus is. He is in your desert place. Just call on him and he'll turn on that fountain of blood. And again, it will cleanse and it'll uproot the demonic forces in your life and it will heal you. Praise God.
Amen. And they came to him from every corner.
Wise men sought Jesus. Wise men still seek Jesus. When Jesus returns at the second advent, Revelation 1 says, every eye shall see him and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and they which pierced him, and all kindred of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Amen. Jesus of Nazareth, the healer, the Savior, our God. We'll start right there next time. But right now it's time for a mystery moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. Let me introduce to you a man of God, my twin friend, the owner of the produce place in Sun Tree, Florida, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very good, Miss Sherry. I mean, what a message for right now, right?
Right now.
Right now. Message God's word for you right now.
Thank you.
Okay, our first question today. What is the purpose of the two witnesses of Revelation chapter 11?
Revelation 11 says there are going to be two witnesses. They'll come just a little bit before Antichrist and during his time. They could be here now. They are going to have the anointing of Elijah, just like John the Baptist. See, that what has been will be again. What they're going to do, Zechariah, the book of Zechariah, I taught that not about a year ago, I guess, in here. And a little more than a year ago. And Revelation says they are like the two bowls of oil. And the oil is the Holy Spirit and truth. They're going to pour the truth into the seven golden candlesticks, which are the elect of the seven churches on round planet Earth. And those seven, God's perfect number. They're going to be encouraging the elect, because only the elect are not going to worship the Antichrist. Half the Christian church is going to fly off into Antichrist's arms. They're going to get all mixed up about that. So the two witnesses have a very, there'll be encouragement. So I say bring them on.
Yeah, bring them on. Bring them on.
Yes.
Okay, our next question. Why is evil becoming more and more evil right now?
Evil is becoming more and more evil because the third, which were the most evil in the first earth age, the world that then was, I just taught that 2 Peter 3:6, they followed Satan, they got right up and followed him. So God says the first shall be last. In other words, the ones who were most evil then are the ones that are most evil now on planet Earth. God's giving them one more chance to see if they're going to follow Satan again or they're going to repent and turn to Jesus. But a leper can't change his spots. They were evil then and they're evil now. The good news is that also that very elect that did not betray God then, there's been a remnant in every generation, but the ones that fought the hardest are here at the end, and we're going to stand against Antichrist, and we're going to get to tell him what the Holy Spirit wants to tell him, and I hope it tells him where to go.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Well, you know, David left his stuff in the cart, and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. It's time now for Scott's stuff.
We must be made just, walking in holiness of our Lord's ways. Our path must be made straight and our house made clean in order to have legal right to have charge in the Lord's courts. To judge, we must be judged righteous. Zechariah 3:7. I will give you places to walk among these who stand here, if you walk in my ways and if you keep my command.
That is so beautiful. Thank you. We appreciate your segment, Scott. Scott Stuff, Scott Merson. I'm going to pray for those of you who are sick, but first of all, let me pray for anyone who's lost. Pray this prayer with me, and the Lord will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life if you mean it. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please wash away all my sins with the blood of Jesus.
Please wash away all my sins with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
And use me.
To win many souls to Jesus.
To win many souls to Jesus.
For you said he that winneth souls.
For you said that he who winneth many souls.
Is wise.
Is wise.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer in a few minutes, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number, and I gave it to you at the beginning, so feel free to call and tell me. Now let me pray for those of you who are sick. Whoa. Praise the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, O Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings. Let the laser beams of Jesus Christ's healing virtue flow into the top of the head, into the skull, in every nook and cranny of the brain, into the sinuses in the back of the head, and the nasal passages, and the ears, and the eyes, and the jawbone, and the skull, and right on down into the spine, and into every organ of the body, repairing, rejuvenating. In the name of Jesus, disease, move, leave in Jesus' mighty name. Be gone in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Cancer, you have no power. Disintegrate in Jesus' name. Fibromyalgia, stop. Bones and joints be made whole. Spine, you get in line. Ha ha. Spine, you get in line. There you have it. That was good. In Jesus' mighty name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Feet be like hinds' feet. Peace, peace, peace. Live, live and not die. I speak life to you in the name of the power of Jesus. He sent his word and healed you. You shall not die, but live and declare the works of God. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We give you glory. Now, if you got that, please feel free to call and tell me that also. Now, I want to invite all of you every Sunday, 5 p.m. We do this radio broadcast live, and then I pray for you. Wednesday, 6 p.m. Thursday from 12 noon to 2 p.m. Scott and I meet here in intercessory prayer for everyone. Get your prayer requests to us, so call in. I'll answer the phone live that day between 12 and 2, or if you want to, walk in. And I want everybody to tell everybody about Trumpet of Truth. We can be heard all over the world, WMIEFM.com, on demand. I have many, many books of the Bible on there. Boy, we're just stacking them up there. We're going to get them all in so people can study the rest of their life on the internet. So you want to be sure to study. Remember this about Jesus. His name is called the Word of God, Revelation 19:13. And Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth. Nothing is given to you to keep. This word is too precious. It's a jewel. How could you keep it to yourself? Go and tell." Now, until next time, this is Sherry Medlock and my twin friend Scott Merson saying thank you for listening to us. We love you. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And until next time, remember, go and blow the trumpet of truth.
Listening to Trumpet of Truth
with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Life means so much. It's just part of life. Don't let that moment blind you, and don't let it define you. Take heart, that's not
things. to God in prayer. Oh, have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Despise, forsake me. Take it to the Lord in prayer. In His arms He'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there in His arms. Oh, in His arms He'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace. Oh, thank you, Lord. You are my solace. Jesus. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. Sing it out, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. Thank you, Lord. What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus.
You're listening to 91.5 FM, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville and the Beaches, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Oh, Relieving hearts, transforming lives, the light.
Transforming lives.